Well, once again, Laba saying good afternoon, and thanks for tuning into Independent Lithuanian Radio. Even though our days appear to be numbered, at least we'll be on the air for 3 or 4 more months. At least that's what we're hoping. We've been telling you and reminding you, and I want to tell you early on in the show that the station KTYM, that's KTYM 1460 on your AM dial, is being sold to a Catholic radio network. The programming will all be of religious quality, Catholic specifically. And so we're going to lose our 12 o'clock time slot. We appreciate you being with us for 25 years. And I hope, you know, I hope that at least some of you can appreciate the fact that, you know what, after 25 years, perhaps it's time to quit. We called ourselves Independent Lithuanian Radio because 25 years ago, that's when Lithuania declared its independence, more or less within a few months. So that's sort of the background story. So once again, this is Kęstutis today with us for Independent Lithuanian Radio here on KTYM 1460 on your AM dial, and of course, live streaming audio anywhere in the world on the internet at www.com. We'll be back in a second, but before we go, I want to let you know that last week we had Lina Rupilienė here, and Lina had taken a recent trip to Lietuva, to Lithuania, to the Song Festival, you know, Song and Dance Festival, and it's all built around the traditional Lithuanian song. And we talked for almost a half an hour about, you know, how moving it was and how her daughters and her son were, you know, excited to be part of everything and see things, and they traveled around. And when we get back after our little break, we're going to have another couple of people, a mother and daughter team. Mother and daughter team, Sigutė and Lana Miller. I've known Sigutė and Lana for many years. They happen to stay in my apartment, so I'll get to get really personal with them about their recent trip to Lithuania. We'll be right back. Well, thanks again for tuning into Independent Lithuanian Radio this afternoon. We appreciate you giving us your ears for a half an hour on every Saturday, especially on beautiful Saturdays like today. We really, really appreciate it. For those of you who are interested, the piece you just heard, that short little piece, was about 35, 40 seconds. That is authentic Lithuanian ethnomusic. That's what they call it, ethnomusic. It's authentic. It's been researched. It's the real deal. That's the way Lithuanians played their music for hundreds, if not thousands of years, but you know, we'll stick with hundreds. And by the way, it was recorded in Australia by some Australians who are interested in true, authentic Lithuanian ethno music. Thanks for listening. And before we get into our interview with Sigutė and Lana Miller, right here of the San Fernando Valley area, Sigutė and Lana Miller, who will talk about their recent trip to Lithuania and the Song Festival, Song and Dance Festival, built around the ancient song. We want to take this opportunity not to forget to thank the people who make this show possible and keep us on the air. And among them are John Dancy and Agatha Dancy. John and Agatha Dancy, longtime supporters of the program, always give me a pat on the back and always write us a check. John and Agatha, thank you, thank you, so very much. Acho. Also, want to thank Rimvidas and Dale Gritsos. Rimvidas and Dale Gritsos have been very generous, given us a generous donation to Independent Lithuanian Radio. Again, thanks to the both of you. And now, once again, as promised, a little different view, perhaps, from Lina Rupelienine, who we talked about her trip to Lithuania a couple of weeks ago. Today, we'll be speaking with Sigita and her daughter, Lana Miller, who, as I said before, happened to stay in my apartment right at the edge of Old Town Vilnius. So here they are, Sigita and Lana Miller of the beautiful San Fernando Valley. And just to be clear, Sigita is mom, and Lana is her beautiful daughter. Welcome to Independent Lithuanian Radio. So when did you get back? You just got back from Lietuva, right?
Yes, we got back Friday night.
And how long did you stay?
We stayed a full 2 weeks.
A full 2 weeks. That's not very long.
It's not. You know, and we talked to a lot of friends, and we decided that next time we come, we'll stay at least a month. Because you need a good week to get into the swing of things, get the touristy things out of the way, and then really get to appreciate the beautiful country.
Did you travel a lot outside of Vilnius?
Not too much this time. We went to Kaunas, where we have relatives, and Lana and I spent a wonderful night in Anykštė at a brand new spa Vilnius there. It was beautiful.
Anykštė. Mm-hmm. Don't they have a roller coaster there now?
We didn't see a roller coaster,
I
no.
just thought I read somewhere that they built a roller coaster. I said to myself, that's crazy, they built a roller coaster.
No, we didn't see a roller coaster, just at Anykštė Šilalės, and the spa is in the middle of the pine and birch forest. It's just beautiful.
It is, it's beautiful there. Okay, Lana, did you go clubbing a lot? What are you, 17 now, 18 years old?
I'm 17 years old.
Yeah?
The nightlife was super fun. It gets dark super late, so we started our nights super late. And it was a great opportunity to meet tons of people from all over the world and come together through a more leisurely setting, you know, to let go instead of from repetitia, from dancing. It was a much more relaxing and comfortable environment to be in.
And it's sort of exciting, too, to be running into people that you know here locally all the time.
Absolutely. You know, absolutely. Yeah. It's such a small town, so you start knowing everyone there, and you take over the same street.
It's actually, you see more people there that you know, it seems, at least to me, than you see here locally.
Definitely. You're surrounded by your friends there, and here it's so spread out. But there, it was awesome. You got to really get close with a lot of different people.
Now, you haven't been there in about 10 years, have you?
I have not.
Tell me how you feel about the changes. I mean, did you're an adult now. Did the city look prettier? Did something else strike you? Were you more interested in the culture?
Having an older viewpoint about it, there's many different settings that I saw Vilnius in. For instance, at night, it looked so much different than it would in the daytime. In the daytime, you realize how many new attractions there are, such as there's many touristy stores and tours that you can take. But at the same time, the culture is very well embedded in the town.
Now, did you feel comfortable there amongst the locals? How did the locals treat you?
Absolutely. Everyone was super nice, super friendly. I'd never felt unsafe walking at night. They're very friendly.
You didn't feel like you were going to get run down in Maxima or crossing the street or anything like that?
No.
Yeah, that's how I used to feel. I used to feel like I'm going to get killed if I'm not careful.
No.
As soon as the light changes.
No. Always have to be aware, but...
Well, I teased everybody a couple times about the fact that you both stayed at my apartment. Were you comfortable there? How were things?
I loved your apartment. It was so, you walking into the building, you don't know what you'll get, and then you open the door, and it's so light and airy, and the high ceilings, and so spacious. I mean, I felt like I was in a luxury environment the whole time. And at the same time, everything you needed was there. The comforts of home were all there. Everything, even from a washer and dryer and, you know, stove and lovely living room with lots of light, and all these windows can open up into this beautiful courtyard. So you have nature that you're looking out into. It was just beautiful.
Well, thank you. That's very complimentary of you. Did you feel like it was quiet there, busy, lots of children?
No, not at all. The only thing that kept, like, woke me up a couple times were two cats that seemed to be in heat.
That's always a good thing.
But other than that, no, it was pretty quiet, actually. You know, occasionally saw a neighbor here and there, but very quiet. On the weekend, we heard some kids playing outside, but, you know, it was lovely voices of children, so nothing bothersome at all.
Now, you mentioned that you went to Anikshe. Where else did you travel to besides Kaunas?
Just Kaunas. Oh, and then Alana really wanted to see Kernave again and Kryžių Kalnas.
Kryžių Kalnas. So that means you went up through Šiauliai. Did you go actually to Šiauliai?
Yes, but we didn't stop. We just drove through.
Mm-hmm. What did you think of Kryžių Kalnas?
It was beautiful. It was definitely an overwhelming experience.
Were you there before?
Yes, but I am...
I mean, did it look bigger to you, smaller to you?
It looks bigger to me, definitely more. It's expanded since I've been there last.
And it was great. We kept thinking we were going to get a rosary or a kryžius to put there, and we didn't get around to doing it. So as a good scouter, I made a cross, you know, in a couple minutes, if not 1 minute. So we put that cross there made out of like straw that we found on the ground.
Now, the last time I was there, there were a lot of tour buses and a lot of, you know, quite frankly, tacky little booths selling stuff. Was it sort of like that?
No, or? You know what? This time, that's actually where we thought we would buy a cross or a rosary. What they have now is a new building that sells souvenirs.
Oh, I saw that building. They were just building
it
when I was there.
And so there were no vendors outside. Nothing. And we didn't go in there, you know. It was, you know, the first few days we were there, the weather was rainy. It was raining and cold. Mm-hmm. So we kind of would dart in and out of places.
Did you get a chance to go to Nidamedmi?
No, not this
year. Palanga?
Not this year.
Not this year.
We'll be back. Lana kept saying, you know, we need to leave some things to do when we get back.
That's why you got to stay more than 2 weeks.
Yes.
That's for sure. The jet lag alone takes you a week to get
over. Absolutely. Yeah, we're still, we're getting better. We're getting better.
In recovery.
Now tell me about the Šventė. We never got into that. Did you actually participate? Did you sing?
I danced in Šventė.
Uh-huh. How come none of you sang? As far as I know, nobody in L.A. really sang or participated.
No, I don't know why we didn't have a singing group or our singers didn't sing. I think, you know, it was so...
Maybe they're just not good enough.
I know, we have beautiful voices. I personally think, you know, as an outsider looking at the kids rehearse every day, a lot of the days were in the rain, Alana.
Yeah, some of the days were pretty brutal, but you look around and everyone's doing it with you.
And so. That last day is pretty inspirational, isn't it?
Absolutely. Makes everything worth it. Yeah. Everything.
You know, they had the grand finale dance where all 8,000 dancers...
8,000 dancers.
Imagine goodness. 8,000 dancers. I'm just getting chills remembering. And
they put on a show, too. I mean, they got, you know, like choreographed stuff going on.
Absolutely. Absolutely. The Lithuanians performed in the beginning, and then it was the mix of the, you know, Ishevios, the... all the different countries.
Oh, so they separated
it. Mm-hmm, because there wasn't enough room on the field for everybody to dance all the time together. Like I said, the finale was 8,000 dancers, and they were crowded in there.
Was President Grybauskaitė there?
She was at the song festival. She might have been at the 12 o'clock. There were two performances, a noon and a 9 o'clock, and I went to the 9 o'clock.
And, of course, it usually ends with a big fireworks show, right?
Yeah, they didn't do fireworks
this
year.
No, they didn't?
Uh-huh, they didn't. But it was okay because all the dancers celebrated on the field. Everyone's lifting and throwing themselves up in the air.
There's a huge loujus in the middle as well.
And how long did this all last? 2, 3, 4 hours?
Yeah, about.
Yeah, it was, I think, a 2.5 to 3 hour performance. Mm-hmm.
And if I remember, parking is, quite frankly, hell.
Well, we didn't have to worry about parking. We just had bus transit.
Oh, okay. Well, that's pretty good.
But the bus traffic was something else. There was buses driving on sidewalks to make room.
Yeah. I remember the first time I went, I parked, and I was probably the last person to leave because I got blocked in. It was just not really fun. So did you bring back any good souvenirs?
The best chocolate.
Great chocolates, lots of different amber. I always look for the unique amber, and got very lucky in Vilnius this time. There were a lot of vendors. You know, because of the Šventė, they had artisans at Gedimino Aikštė there and in the park. Dozens and dozens of wonderful artisans doing their craft. And so that was a real opportunity to buy unique things.
Now, Sigita, you've been there before, too, of course.
Many times.
But I don't think your husband's ever gone with you.
Yes.
Oh, he has.
8 years ago, we did a family reunion. And because I had... My parents met in Chicago. They're both from Yatva. So their families never met. But through the years that I've been going, I've met both sides of the family. So 8 years ago, I arranged a picnic in Trakai. And brought both sides of the families together, and it was wonderful. And it was my mother's first time back since she escaped when she was 12.
Oh, my God.
So it was a very moving, very emotional, very special day.
And where were you born here?
I was born in Chicago.
In
Little Lithuania, Brighton Park.
Brighton Park, wow. Now, tell me, think about this a little bit. Think about this a little, both of you. Both of you, think about this a little bit. What was your favorite experience in Lithuania?
Definitely the final performance at the very end, when all dancers were dancing Suktinis. It was, I've never felt more part of something bigger than myself before. It was an amazing way to really tie your roots into the community.
Now, they still do that big march on the way to Vingiuparkas, right?
Yeah, where that was so much
was
fun,
their
too.
Costumes.
There was people from their own apartments cheering us on, throwing some water at us to cool us down. It was amazing.
From the hilltops.
They kept our energy up, for sure.
It was amazing. It was amazing how dedicated these fans were and waited. And we were at the end. We were towards the end, and these fans waited, and everything culminated at Vingiuparkas, and there were 20,000 or more, I don't know how many, singers there. Oh, it was, for me, when all the singers and all the audience, which could have been 40, 50,000, maybe more, stood up and sang Lietuva Brange together.
Lietuva Brange.
Yeah, we sang Lietuva Brange together. Wasn't it Lietuva Brange?
Yeah.
I think you did the national anthem all together, too, a
yes.
later, didn't
they
you?
They stopped the performance to sing
at
the national
9 o'clock.
Anthem all over the world.
All over the world. But the Lietuva Brange, where everybody stood up and sang, that to me was a pivotal moment in Lietuva this time.
Now, of course, I do these interviews in English, you know, simply because we're trying to reach, you know, that second-generation audience. And I'm always interested, when you're in Lietuva and you're sitting at that cafe, do you find yourself speaking in English or in Lithuanian? Or do you mix it up?
I predominantly speak in Lithuanian. Even my friends from L.A. or Chicago or Toronto that I saw, we make an effort to speak in Lithuanian. How about you, Lana?
It's a good place to definitely strengthen your kalba there and really immerse yourself in the language.
Lana would say to me, "Let's kalbėkime lietuviškai, mama. Kalbėk su manim lietuviškai." So.
Now, of course, Old Town's, you know, pretty beautiful. It's all painted, it's all cleaned up and all that stuff. Like, what was your favorite part there? Like the cathedral or Rotuša, or did it matter?
I just love, you know what, I think what made it very special this time was seeing all the people on the street. I mean, I really felt like I was at home there, and you know, a lot of new stores opened up, but a lot of fancy stores that I don't even visit here. I'm not real fond of that. You know, there's like Burberry and Prada and all that, you know.
It's almost over the top.
Yeah, I don't, you know, I understand what they're doing at making Vilnius a very cosmopolitan, you know, updating it, but for me, it's the older stores, the Lina, you know, Linu Krautuves, and the cafes. There's so many cafes.
What was your favorite cafe? Do you have one? Did you go to a whole bunch? Or?
Yeah, we went to quite a few of them because they have Wi-Fi there.
Really important.
Oh, so you were talking a lot. Yeah, you were on your Wi-Fi.
It's good to stay connected.
How about Amatininku? That's always a popular
one. Oh, the best cold luna I've ever had.
Yeah.
Hands down.
It's also, if you...
And Medininku, that's a really, really...
Yeah, Medininku's good.
Yeah, wonderful, wonderful.
I just find Amatininku a little overpriced.
Yeah.
You know, Amatininku's where the guy got shot, you know. One guy came in there, and I just tell a little side story. I don't know if you know it, that a guy came in from Parliament drunk at like 3 in the morning and demanded to be served food, and they said, "We're closed." So he pulled out a gun, and he shot the chef.
Oh, my goodness. When was that?
Oh, this is a few years ago. Listen, you know, just a little sidetrack story. And, you know, we're talking about over-the-top kind of stores. I went in with a pair of hiking boots, regular good old-fashioned Nike hiking boots, because I figured it's muddy, it's dirty, it was fall. And I walked into one of those stores, you know, that's real nice, and the blonde, you know, runway model who's running the place sees me walk in the door, and I go, "Do you have any my shoelaces were broken." I go, "Do you have any shoelaces?" And she goes, "This store's not for you. This store's not for you." Kicked me out. I was like, you know, you people just don't get it. I have, whatever. I mean, it's again, it's a side story, but sometimes I feel like I have more money in my back pocket than she makes in a month. But I can't buy a pair of shoelaces there. Yeah.
But, you know, to me, really, I think truly something rings deep in my heart is when I see Gediminno Pillis.
Oh, yeah.
You know, when you're walking down
the main street.
Not this time, no, because I've been there a few times. But
and it's a walk.
And it's a walk. But and the park around it. And there's something that's so grounding about that view. I love it.
Well, it's very traditional, and it takes you back. And you can still see the three Khadijah.
Mm-hmm.
You
know,
yes,
that's
all very beautiful.
Yes.
Well, listen, you know, we're just about running out of time. I want to thank you both, Lana and Sugita, for coming in, for visiting, for talking to us, telling us a little bit. People always want to hear about how things are going in what we'll call the old country, Acho Vale.
For the show, and thank you for the opportunity.
Thank you very much.
Bye-bye. Well, ladies and gentlemen, as you all heard, everybody loves Lithuania. People visit different places, different towns, different cities, visit different relatives. But in the end, nobody's disappointed. We'll be right back after a short musical break. Well, once again, for those of you interested, that again was original Lithuanian ethno-music. The style is called a sutartinė, and it's usually sung by women, and it's usually women working in the fields. It's work music, you know. They work in the fields, they're cutting the wheat, and they sing. And those are ancient Lithuanian tunes known as sutartinės. You know, before Lana and Sigita Miller, Lana and Sigita Miller left, they gave us a gift, and I just wanted to make sure that I acknowledge that and I thank them. It's a woodcut made by a relative of theirs, of Šventas Jurgis, St. Jurgis, who is Marijampolės globėjas. In other words, he is the protector of the town of Marijampolė. Beautiful woodcut, many colors, of Šventas Jurgis. Thank you again, Lana and Sigita Miller. There's an opinion piece in Lithuania Tribune, it's English, of course, It's called How to Achieve a Greater Lithuania, and I'm sharing it with you because it's written by Kęstutis Eidukonis. Eidukonis is a member of the U.S. Lithuanian community, a board member and delegate from the PLB, or the World Lithuanian Community, to the Parliament, to the Seimas of Lithuania. He shares his thoughts on how to achieve a more prosperous and greater Lithuania. We're not going to have enough time to finish all this, but I want to cover a few things. The first thing he says is the country is overtaxed. Because of the size of the governmental workforce, the country is overtaxed. The 21% PVM, the income tax on companies and individuals, capital gains tax, the SOA, their social security tax, and other hidden taxes and subsidies cause the cost of goods and services to soar. Because of these high taxes, most small firms and individuals in Lithuania cheat and lie about it. Simple as that. Because these high taxes, most small farms and individuals in Lithuania cheat and lie on their taxes and in the sale of goods and services. I estimate personally that 50 to 60% of the economy in Lithuania operates under the table. This makes scofflaws out of most citizens in the country, thereby diminishing the respect for all organs of the government. Number three, one cannot hold accountable the various organs of government either. In opinion number four, he writes, the lack of accountability in government, 141 members of the parliament makes for an unruly and unaccountable government. The election of the parliament by the parties makes the members of parliament indebted to the party hierarchy rather than responsive to the electorate themselves. The parties need funds to exist and thus become captives to special interests, to oligarchs, and even to other countries. This causes, if not de facto corruption, then the appearance of corruption. We have adopted the bad attitudes of Greece. We have adopted all the bad attributes of Greece without the infrastructure and work and underpinnings of Germany. Our government is as effective as Italy's and Greece's, and we will sooner or later follow them into the same pit. Lithuania's geographic location has been one source of its misfortune. We are located between great powers, Russia and Germany. Early in history, they have fought each other, and they have rampaged through our country. Now they are economic allies, but they ignore us and bypass us and punish us economically, and if we do not do their bidding. We need to become energy independent, he says. He says we need to keep the litas. Do not adopt the euro. He says to cut the size of government. He says cap all corporate and private income tax at 5%. Imagine that, cap all corporate and private income tax at 5%. Anyway, he goes on to talk about a few more things, about Lithuania only having one other tax, easy to calculate, 10 or 15% on consumption only. Talks about the privatization of the social security system, such as in Chile, and to make private health insurance available for the upcoming generation. And finally, to root out all corrupt individuals from all branches of government. Thanks for listening again to Independent Lithuanian Radio. This is Kęstutis Deividas. We're at KTYM 1460 on your AM dial. And last time I forgot to tell you, I think it's www.ktym.com for live streaming audio anywhere in the world. www.ktym.com for live streaming audio anywhere in the world. Again, Kęstutis Deividas here on KTYM. Thank you for your ears. Listen again next week. Acho labai.